In our first reading today, we heard about the story of Adam and Eve and the creation of Adam and Eve. And I remember hearing a story once that later on in Adam's life, he was walking by the Garden of Eden with two of his boys, and he looked over at the Garden of Eden. It was all in disrepair. It was all boarded up and abandoned. And he turned to his sons and says, "Boys, I brought you here because I wanted to show you where your mother ate us out of house and home." Well, in today's gospel, the Lord quotes the book of Genesis. See, after we heard about the creation of Adam and Eve and the union of Adam and Eve, the book of Genesis says, "And this is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Well, then the Lord in today's gospel, see, the first reading and the gospel always are connected. Whenever you go to Mass, always look for the first reading, and the gospel will always have a common theme. And so we see that in tonight's gospel. The Pharisees and scribes approach Jesus and ask, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" Because they say, "Well, Moses allowed it." But what does Jesus say? Jesus, the Son of God, reaffirms the teaching of Genesis. And he says, "Well, Moses, you watered that down for the hardness of your hearts, but from the beginning, this is God's view. This is God's view on marriage. This is God's view on the union of husband and wife. God made them male and female." See, that's very important. See, that's God's view of marriage. Other people can try to redefine marriage, but God's view of marriage is between a man and a woman. God says it here in the book of Genesis. He says it here in the Gospel of Mark and all the New Testament passages. Marriage, in God's eyes, is between man and woman, not between man and man, not between woman and woman. God's view on marriage, it says here, God made them male and female, and for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. So here the Lord is talking about this sanctity of holy matrimony. And then from that flows the Lord's teaching about divorce and remarriage. And again, the disciples question him and say, "Well, Lord, what about this?" And then the Lord again is very clear. Whoever divorces his wife, he says, and marries another, commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. So again, the Bible is very clear about God's teaching on the sanctity of marriage. The marriage is until death do they part. Well, then from marriage flows the blessing of children. And the blessing of children is talked about next because it says people were bringing their little children to Jesus that he might touch them and bless them. And the disciples became indignant. And Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not prevent them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." That every child is a gift. Every child is a blessing from God. We heard this a couple weeks ago in the gospel as well. That children are a blessing from God. They are a gift from Almighty God. So let the little children come unto me. Is it interesting that these two issues are going to be brought up in the election next month? These are two of the big issues. Respect for the sanctity of human life. You know, what do we believe about human life? Does life begin at conception? Is life sacred from the womb? You know, this is again a very critical aspect of this upcoming election, the sanctity of human life. Since in America today, every single day, 3,500 babies are killed every single day in America legally by abortion. Remember September 11th, those planes that flew into the Twin Towers that day? Well, that killed almost that many people. Well, every single day a plane gets flown into, in a sense, the building of America and wipes away 3,500 unborn babies every single day. That is the most important issue in any election, the sanctity of unborn human life. The bishops of the country have reaffirmed this time and time again, that there is a hierarchy of issues, and the most important one that trumps everything is the sanctity of human life and the protection of our unborn children. And in today's gospel, another issue that came up was marriage. Marriage is between man and woman in God's view and the Bible's view on marriage. Again, this is another issue that will be talked about during the election. And are we on God's side? If we believe that marriage is between man and woman, then this is God's view on the sanctity of marriage. So again, these are very important issues that we'll be talking about and praying about over this next month. We have 1 month, I believe, from today until the election. I encourage all of you to pray the rosary every single day for our country and for our election. And to remember these most important issues. Obviously, our religious freedom has been under attack in this past year. That's a very important issue. But the sanctity of unborn human life, and then the sanctity of marriage between man and woman, again, this happens to be what the gospel is about tonight. Let the little children come to me, and do not prevent them. For to them belongs the kingdom of God. Well, this is, of course, Respect Life Weekend. The first weekend in October is always Respect Life Weekend. And, you know, we've heard today about the beauty of marriage. A man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one. So that's a beautiful vocation, the sanctity of holy matrimony. But there's another vocation that supports the sanctity of marriage, and that is the priesthood. We are here to try to help marriages, strengthen marriages, try to strengthen family life. And we have a vocation as well to the religious life or to the priesthood. And our job is to try to strengthen families and to help families. And the priest that I wanted to mention tonight, because his feast day was just yesterday, is Blessed Francis Silos, an incredible priest who helped to strengthen families and marriages throughout our country about 150 years ago. I hope you'll have a chance to get to know Father Silos. There's a booklet here about him. We have extra holy cards and pamphlets in the back of church. When you leave Mass today, make sure you pick up a holy card about this amazing priest, Blessed Francis Xavier Silos. He was a Redemptorist priest. Let me just briefly just tell you a few things about his life. Born in Bavaria in 1819, he was the sixth of nine children. As a young boy, he was an altar boy at church. He went off to study at the University of Munich, and he felt called to the seminary. And he had in his heart that the Lord told him that he should go to America to help out in the Redemptorist order and to help take care of all the immigrants, especially the German and French-speaking immigrants. So he came to America in 1843, was ordained in Baltimore, not far up the road, in 1844. And he worked in the beginning in the seminary, training seminarians, and then he would be chosen to give retreats and missions all over the country, like the Redemptorists would do. So he worked in Baltimore. He worked in Pittsburgh for 9 years, St. Philomena's Parish up there. He worked in Annapolis, not too far from here. He worked in Cumberland, Maryland, Detroit, and then went to New Orleans. And when he went to New Orleans, he predicted that within a year he would contract yellow fever and go home to heaven within 1 year. That's exactly what happened. He died on October 4th, 1867, at the young age of 48, having spent his short life giving parish missions and retreats and hearing long lines of confessions. Blessed Silas was friends with the great St. John Neumann of Philadelphia. Also, Father Silas had an interesting meeting with Abraham Lincoln. It was during the time of the Civil War, and Lincoln was going to conscript all of the men between age 20 and 45 into the army. And of course, this would also mean seminarians and priests. And so Father Silas went and had a personal meeting with Abraham Lincoln. He was so impressed with Abraham Lincoln. And he asked Abraham Lincoln if he would not conscript the seminarians into the army because they would be more valuable as chaplains once they were ordained as priests. And thanks be to God, the conscription of the seminarians never came about. But Father Silas was an incredible saintly priest. And there are so many wonderful stories of him. When he would meet a poor person in the street, he would give them his hat or his coat. And one time in the snowy winter, he took off his boots and gave his boots to a homeless man on the street, and he had to walk home to the rectory in his stocking feet. There were many persecutions against him. Oftentimes he was beaten, and there was a great deal of anti-Catholicism at that time as well. But in recent years, people have found that Father Silas is a very powerful intercessor. And in 1966, there's a woman named Angela Boudreau who was dying of liver cancer. And she went to the shrine of Father Silas in New Orleans and prayed at his tomb, and she was cured of liver cancer. And she was examined again in 1999, 30 years later, and still free of liver cancer. And that was the miracle that brought about his beatification. And we're still waiting, God willing, for one more miracle for his canonization. So if you know of anyone that is in need, anybody that has cancer, anybody that needs healing, please pick up a holy card after Mass and pray that prayer for his intercession. That could be the miracle needed for his canonization. So he was known for his kindness, his apostolic zeal, his great joy, his wonderful sense of humor, his deep prayer life, and devotion to doing God's will. So I'll give you a blessing now with the relic of Father Silas. And I encourage you to get to know him and get to know his life. What a remarkable priest. And again, the priest is there to help strengthen the church, to strengthen families, to strengthen marriages. So I give you a blessing now with the first class relic of Blessed Silas. And if anyone is in need of healing or spiritual, emotional, or physical healing, open yourselves to the graces and the intercession of this great miracle worker that God has often worked countless miracles through the intercession of Blessed Francis Silas. So through the intercession of Blessed Silas, may Almighty God bless you and heal you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And don't forget after Mass to pick up one of his holy cards at any of the exits. God bless you.